For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, special teams, lost your kicker. Carter McLaughlin.
We didn't lose him. He's at Alabama. We know
I understand
where he's at. Like, you media people, it's all pretend. Like, no, Alabama stole our kicker.
They illegally
recruited our kicker and stole him from us. And, like, that's a fact. But that's kind of, but we act like it's not. We live in this la-la world. Like, hey, let's not talk. I don't know why everybody knows what's going on. So, yeah, Alabama stole our kicker. A couple other schools tried to steal it, but then they, okay, what's the question?
That is Chuck Martin. He's the head coach of Miami, Ohio. Accusing Alabama of stealing his kicker.
Illegally.
Aggressively.
Yes, illegally recruited our kicker, is what he said.
Yeah. Very aggressive about that.
Got to fight for your kickers.
Yeah. Miami, Ohio, by the way. All the talk that we've had on this show because of all the Syracuse people that are buzzing around the station about how Syracuse, like, oh, they have a great year. Then maybe they could sneak into that 12-team college football playoff. Miami, Ohio has better odds to make the college football playoff than Syracuse does.
Without a kicker, that is not
actually necessarily a dig, though, at Syracuse. Miami, Ohio actually has decent odds.
Without their kicker, huh?
Without their kicker.
They're going to do all that without their kicker.
Well, isn't it? I mentioned the thing about UB's quarterback and, like, okay, he might be interesting and maybe they could be interesting because of him. I almost feel like we kind of mistimed this a little bit, the 12-team playoff. Wouldn't UB football, if they can get back to what they were... When was Lance Leipold head coach? Like 2-3 years ago now?
Four and five years ago? Yeah.
They were going to bowl games. They were winning, 7-8 games? We kind of mistimed this, didn't we? Wouldn't those seasons have been infinitely more interesting had the 12-team playoff format existed? Because you'd have an end goal. You'd have a different end goal. The end goal then
You'd feel like you'd have a chance.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas, it was still fun when UB with Leipold was winning. How many times did they win 8 games?
A few times.
I thought it was a few times. I guess... Yeah, here we go. UB last year. Did they win? They won 7 games last year?
No, there's no way.
Okay, that's what Wikipedia's not updated since 2022. Doesn't matter. Okay, so 2022, they won 7 games. 2020, they won 6-1 because of the COVID shortened year.
Yep.
The year before that, they went 8-5. These might include bowl games. 10-4 the year before that. Aren't we those years thinking, like, okay, win the MAC, go undefeated. You have one dream season, and you get to play in a playoff game against whoever. Like, if you're a MAC team, that's now live for you. I mentioned Miami, Ohio's odds. Miami, Ohio, what have they aspired to in the past? Going to the Meineke Car Care Bowl and winning the MAC? Versus now, like... You have your best season you've had in 10 years, and what do you get out of it? Instead of some middle-of-the-road bowl game.
Right.
I guess, did Northern Illinois have an undefeated year and once go to, like, the Orange Bowl or something?
I know Northern Illinois was undefeated when they went into the MAC championship game and UB beat them. That would have been 12 years ago.
Was that Ball State or Northern Illinois?
Oh, maybe it was Ball State.
Might have been Ball State.
You're right.
Either way, though, like, okay, you can get to a high-end bowl game. But now, if you're a MAC team that has... your best season ever. Okay, now you get Notre Dame. You get the biggest game of your program's history because you're still alive to win the national championship, which was actually never really alive to you for 50 years. You're probably not going to win it. Probably one of those teams will never win it. Will Liberty ever win it? They're a big, group of five team this year that has good odds of making it. But are they going to win it? Probably not. But... I don't know. I'm way more interested in the college football playoff format than I have been in the past. And, you know, I'm more interested now if UB can ever get back to where they were with Lance Leipold because of what it could mean for, like, even give me the chase. Give me the idea of, okay, maybe I can get to a playoff game like that in the future. Notre Dame, by the way, we saw this yesterday. They have the best odds to go undefeated this year. But they can't make the first round bye. They'd have to host whoever. They'd host Miami, Ohio. They'd host like that team. Whoever the group of five team is that would get it.
I'm just saying, don't sleep on Notre Dame.
I can never sleep on Notre Dame because whenever
I won't let you.
Nobody will ever let me sleep on Notre Dame.
I certainly won't.
If they start 3-0, I'm going to hear constantly about, oh, Notre Dame, why are they only ranked number 3? They should be number 1. I'll have to watch them play Air Force while Georgia and Alabama are on TV.
Oh, stop. They're not playing Air Force. Grow up. What are you? You're just another think tank Notre Dame hater.
Who are they? Who am I watching instead? By the way, Notre Dame does play. Coincidence. We were just talking about Miami, Ohio. Notre Dame does play Miami, Ohio September 21st, their fourth game of the year. Tennessee and Ole Miss are going to be battling back and forth on ESPN, and I'm going to be watching.
At the same time?
I'm going to be watching Notre Dame, Miami.
I'll have that Tennessee. I'll have that Tennessee game in the picture in the small.
Notre Dame and Navy on October 26th. I know there'll be a better game on that.
Don't
I won't
sleep.
Be watching because my buddies will be like, "Oh, we got to watch the Notre Dame game."
Don't sleep.
They don't play Air Force, but they do play Army and Navy this year.
They always do. They play Army and Navy every year.
Every year? I knew they played Navy.
Maybe
every
not
year.
Army every year. Okay. They got SC, and they got Florida State at home the night before Bills Colts.
Okay. Are you. So I mentioned I'm more into college football this year because of the playoff format change. What about conference realignment? Has that made it more or less interesting? Because now I've got what? Just to catch up on things, there's been a lot. USC, UCLA, Oregon, and someone else. Is someone else in the Big Ten? Oregon's in the Big Ten, right?
Oregon is in the Big Ten, yeah.
Is there another former Pac-10 team that's in the Big Ten? Is Stanford in the... No, Stanford's in the ACC? We should play a trivia game. Who's where? Stanford's in the ACC.
Mm-hmm. Ugh, that's weird.
Where's Cal?
Cal is in the ACC as well, I believe.
let's see. The ACC this year, who joined the
Cal
ACC?
Cal is in the ACC.
Thank you. Okay.
Also,
all right,
there
we go.
18
I'm catching
teams,
up on things.
There's 18 teams now in the
That's
Big
absurd.
Ten.
That's absurd.
18 teams in the Big Ten? Come on. Really?
Have a playoff in
there's
the top
17
10.
In the ACC.
Wow. Yeah, but you're named the Big Ten. There should be 10 teams.
And again, as we catch up on college football here.
Well, the Big Ten's gone, right? Big Ten's gone?
The what?
The Big Ten's gone?
Big Ten's not gone.
It's not?
No. Is the Big Ten gone was a question that was asked on today's show.
Well, I'm only asking that because I'm on under FBS standings, and it goes AAC, ACC, Big 12.
Yeah, you got you might
Conference USA.
You might have to change your site because they're definitely they exist.
Okay.
Colorado is now in the Big 12, right? So Deion Sanders and that whole spiel is there. And I think Utah, of course, joined the Big 12. You've got just two teams in the Pac 12, Oregon State and Washington State. And that's it. And I think they're holding out hope that someone else is going to join them eventually, and that's why they're not dissolving the Pac-12 yet or joining the Mountain West or something like that. So you got a lot of conference realignment. It's confusing. It's confusing. Hard to keep track of.
Maybe Nebraska will be good.
Maybe Nebraska will be good.
They got the quarterback.
Oh, they got...
Dylan Raiola, right? Raiola.
Okay.
He was the number one overall recruit.
Well, maybe...
Was started at Georgia.
Okay.
Then bailed out of Georgia and went to Nebraska with Matt Rhule.
Matt Rhule. That's right. Matt Rhule's in Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe Nebraska will be good. I know Wisconsin will be 7th in the country and win 8 games.
Ugh.
I know that will happen.
I don't know.
Every year.
They weren't good last year.
Wisconsin?
Yeah. They don't have good players.
The playoff odds, by the way.
Oh, by the way, if you want some free money... Notre Dame is a 3-point dog in a neutral site to Texas A&M, just so you know.
Plus, why are they an underdog?
Plus 124 on the money line. I'm about to hammer it right now.
Why are they an underdog?
I don't know. They're ranked 7th. Texas A&M's 20th. Now, preseason rankings, maybe they don't mean a lot, so maybe that's probably it. But I think I would guess that there's a lot of public money going into A&M.
Okay. Looking at some of the odds for the college football playoff, it's what you'd expect. Ohio State, Georgia, Oregon, Texas, Notre Dame, Penn State, Ole Miss, Alabama, LSU, Michigan. Michigan really far down. You still got the, but again, the new unique thing is, oh look, Boise State has good odds. Liberty has good odds. Texas State. Like, there's going to be some of these smaller programs that will have an opportunity to get in. College football starts tomorrow. Georgia Tech and Florida State.
Hell yes.
You get Hawaii a little bit later on. Some other games mixed in between. Brian Mazurowski down the hall over at WBEN just asked an interesting question on Twitter. Thank you, by the way. We had a couple people reach out on Twitter. Washington is the other team that joined the Big Ten. Washington went from the Pac-12 to the Big Ten. Brian Mazurowski asked this question. What are the odds that your favorite moment at the current Bills Stadium has already happened?
I said very good odds.
There are 2 years left.
This year and
next year. To figure this out, though, this is a good question. Because it kind of gets to, well, for in the first place, what is your favorite moment at the current stadium? And this is maybe a lot tougher for someone that's our age, right? Like, what would my dad's answer to this be? What would Shoper Bulldogs answer this be?
Yeah, it'd probably be a little different for everybody,
right,
based on your age group.
If I was 20 years older, I think 51-3 against the Raiders in the AFC Championship game. I think that would be my answer. Or the comeback game would be my answer. Like, you'd have a couple of real obvious ones to point to. For us, what should be the answer here of what the favorite moment at the current Bills Stadium is? And is it so good that it can't be topped in the next 2 years? We talked about in the break, like, the New England, and it depends also what you mean by moment. Because moment doesn't necessarily, I guess, mean game. Moment could mean just like one moment, one play. And if that's the case, I don't know what my answer would be to that. I mean, I think I would want it to be somewhere in the perfect game against New England. But I don't know what specific moment I would pick. You mentioned the Micah Hyde interception. That might be the most, it's amazing because the Bills are, that game is remembered because they scored a touchdown on every drive they had offensively. And honestly, the most impressive play of the game might have been Micah Hyde stealing a touchdown from Mac Jones and whoever the receiver was. So the New England game might be what I'd want to get to, but I don't know what moment I would pick. Is there a game like they won at the buzzer at home in the last couple of years? There must be, right?
The Rams game in 2020, but no one was there for it, so.
Right, that's another. I saw our former colleague Ryan Gates tweet back at Brian, like, can I count the Taron Johnson pick six?
Oof,
but
right.
There were a couple thousand?
5,000 people there, yeah.
So there's another point here of, like, you kind of want to be in attendance. That's what I'm doing. Like, what was I in attendance for? And I'm not there for the Taron Johnson pick six. And even if you were there, Someone that was there, maybe call in and tell me if I'm wrong. Wouldn't it not feel as special because there was nobody there? Doesn't that really hurt it? You didn't have 70,000 people losing their minds as he runs.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Runs down the field to score a 100-yard touchdown in a playoff game against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. So I think that kind of hurts it a little bit. Like, what else could you really have here? There's not a... Is there a playoff memory? I went to...
No.
I've went to a couple home playoff games. Was that the Bengal one? There's not, obviously nothing there. Was that the Chief game last year? Nothing there. I was at Bills and Dolphins 2 years ago, but that day they won a playoff game, and I didn't even feel good after. Right? It was...
Yeah.
It wasn't even like, oh, they won a playoff game. Cool. I was in attendance. It was, how did they almost just lose to Skylar Thompson?
Yeah.
I was like mad. I left that game angry after a playoff game that they won. So, I don't know. Call in. 803-0550 is the phone number. What's your favorite moment at the Bills Stadium, and can it? Do you think it could be topped in the next 2 years?
I think my favorite moment, I think I told you this during the break, is 2011, or is it 2010? 2011, the game they beat the New England Patriots for the first time in a while.
Week three of 2011.
Week three, 2011.
Yeah.
I would have been in college.
They brought my 3-0.
Brought my buddy who was a Packers fan to the game, and after the game, he looked at me and was like, "How come there are people crying?" And I was like, "Well, it's week three of a regular season
Is
game."
Isn't that?
And
I might have been near tears that day. I had never seen a playoff game, so like, listen, the bar was low.
The bar was really low. Fitzy,
don't we sound like clowns right now saying that though?
A little bit.
That we were near tears.
The vibes were unbelievable.
Going
in
to
game,
3-0,
and didn't they start
in a
season
where they lost? They lost like 10 more games after
they
that.
They lost six. They started 6-1 in that season, and then fell apart. Is that year?
I don't think it was that good.
No,
I don't think it was.
That's
that
2011,
good.
I believe.
Yeah, I don't think they got to 6-1. Maybe they got to like 5-2. 5-2 sounds right. But I don't think 6-1. But right, like that can't be the answer though. It simply can't be, right? Yeah, it could be because
they started 5-2. Yep.
It was so rare beating Brady, right?
Yeah.
They hadn't beat Brady since Brady was kind of fresh on the scene a little bit. 31-0, right? That could be a good answer here. Like, the drought's just tough for this, which is why, like, I almost feel like I got to find something from the Allen era.
Tom Brady, because my
answer can't be week three with Fitz, right?
Tom Brady throws four interceptions in this game. Is this
tremendous.
Is this the last time a Bills quarterback threw for 300 yards in that game? Before Josh Allen did it?
I think Kyle Orton did it
okay.
once.
It was 369 yards Fitzy had in that game.
Fitz. That's a good day. It's a great day. It's a great day. I mean, it was euphoria.
Donald Jones, big day, 5 for 101.
Again, now though, I look back on that game and I almost feel embarrassed to have thought that game was that meaningful or to have cared that much about that week three game. They win a week three game now, and I'm, again, like, talking about that Dolphins playoff game. They win a game in week three now, and I leave the game going, yeah, they should have won by more. And that day it was, they beat Tom Brady.
Yeah.
They beat Tom Brady. They never beat Tom Brady.
And it was the Drayton Florence interception. To me, that was a fever pitch. That is, I'm there, and that's an all-time high feeling for me.
Yeah.
Okay, let me add one more.
Go ahead, and then we'll start rolling through some phone calls.
Because of the sadness of it, it's funny. EJ Manuel, Stevie Johnson, game-winning touchdown.
I was there Carolina for that Panthers. One. I was there for that one. At the time, it was pretty great. It felt great.
Yeah. EJ.
And he played, is that his second year or his rookie year? That's his rookie year.
It's his rookie year.
Okay.
Mm.
None of these can be the answer, though, to what was our greatest moment at the stadium. Because I'll say this: if those are our answers, then yes, it can be topped in the next 2 years. If they beat, do I sound like an idiot for saying this? Because they've had three tries at it. If they beat the Chiefs in a playoff game at home, if they beat the Bengals in a playoff game at home, that's what they need to do to top it. In the next 2 years, they need a home playoff win against somebody that's not a backup quarterback,
but like a special one.
I don't even know how special it's got to be. I think you just got to beat one of those teams.
Josh Allen goes down the field.
Beat like, someone that's not Skylar Thompson or Mason Rudolph in a home playoff game. Do that. And I'm in. 803-0550. Pete in West Seneca, what's your favorite memory at the stadium, Pete? And can it be topped?
Hey, guys. Great call. Or great topic. Thanks for taking my call. I was at the Snowball a number of years ago against Indianapolis. I took my two sons. They were young at the time. And it was interesting because you could barely see the game. But around the third quarter, my older son said, hey, you know, let's go. And my younger one was like, no, we're staying. And when those guys were doing snow angels in the end zone at the end of the game, I'll tell you, I'll never forget. That was great. Great game.
So, and that's the Colts game, right? LeSean McCoy game-winning touchdown, that game?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Did you stay to the end?
Yep. Absolutely. We were there watching the whole thing, watching them do snow angels. It took us forever to get out of the parking. It was just – but it was great. Great memory.
Awesome. Thanks, Pete, for the call. That's a good one. I'm not there. I did not have the courage to brave the elements that day. I think I could have.
I don't even remember.
Did we have the option to go down there?
I went to the other snow game. Against the Colts.
The other snow game.
Curtis Painter.
What on earth are you talking about right now? What?
They sat Peyton Manning because it was the end of the year.
Oh, yes.
This game was blacked out on television.
Yeah, that's probably why I don't remember it.
Didn't sell out. I went with my dad.
Yeah.
And we were in the 300s. You could not see the field because of how bad it was snowing. And Curtis Painter started the game. Or maybe Peyton started it and then Curtis Painter came in very soon after.
Peyton Manning started the game and they were already like everything clinched. Like, what are we doing?
This is
ridiculous.
Kurt,
get Peyton.
Get Painter in.
Go get Peyton. Tell him to get his butt over here. Let's try DJ in Lockport next up. What's up, DJ?
Hey, guys. Well, first, honorable mention, I was literally at the game that, like a Mylek balloon blew out the Transformers, and it was the game where Trent Edwards was, like, knocked unconscious by Adrian Wilson in Arizona, I want to say. We were, like, 4-0. We lost the Arizona game, and Trent Edwards had a great game against San Diego, and we won that game pretty open. It was like 35-10 or something like that.
Yep.
That was a good one. But I'm 40, so I'm kind of like the drought era kind of fan. So my biggest game remembering was Travis Henry. It was the year after we got to Keough Spikes. I remember the year prior we were at the Bengals game, and everybody was chanting for Spikes. Well, that next following year when we got Spikes. Travis Henry broke his fibula in, like, the second quarter of the game, ended up finishing the game with, like, 185 yards, and romped for, like, a 40-yard touchdown run in overtime with that broken leg. And everybody knew it. I always had the radio on. Knowing that he had literally a broken leg, the crowd went nuts. It was just one of those games, random year. You know, Bledsoe was our quarterback, I think it was. But, like, that was, like, my most memorable game as a Bills fan, being at the game. I don't know why. That's my particular game. So.
All right. Thanks, DJ, for the call.
Listen, guys.
Yeah, good memories on these from the drought era too. I didn't go to a ton of games as a kid. Am I at the Bills Bengals game that year where Spikes is on the Bengals and Bills fans are chanting his name? Imagine that. Player on the other team. First of all, fans had the wherewithal to know he was about to become available. A linebacker. Imagine. Man, I love Spikes, though, so much. He might be one, I mean, top, for me personally, like my Mount Rushmore of favorite drought players, for me, he is on that list. That's a good memory. I wouldn't say it's my favorite memory at the stadium. Some hockey games, by the way, I can bring up here for this.
It's funny, I'm just on Pro Football Reference going through these teams. I'm at 2008. In 2008, I would have been a sophomore in high school. That's the year they start 5-1.
Yep. That's the year they start 5-1. You know what happens after that?
They lose
7 of their next 8.
Yeah.
Good times.
Here's the thing.
7 of 8 after 5-1.
The crazy part is,
how did we do that? How do we make it through all that?
I don't know. Remember, you said you really thought this
alcohol
was kind of fun.
I didn't. Huh?
You thought this was fun, remember? The drought.
It's more of a badge of honor than I guess it was fun. Fun might have been the wrong word.
The 2008 team, I would have been a sophomore or junior.
Okay.
I think maybe starting my junior year of high school. Yeah. Uh-huh. And starting my junior year of high school. I have almost no recollection of Dick Duran coach teams. I remember the season. I don't remember all the games from the season.
They all kind of blended together.
Arizona stands out to me.
I remember the Charger game because I remember them coming back to the game after leaving it because of the power outage at the stadium and seeing the highlight of Lee Evans catching a touchdown on his helmet that we had missed. We had heard it on the radio. Edwards in that game, man, that's after the Adrian Wilson hit. He throws for 261. They win by 9. And then
well, because they had the bye week. So he gets injured in that game.
Yeah.
You get the bye week. He comes back and has that game where you're like, oh.
That's the year. We'll get to another call and then we're going to hit a break. That year, Remember, I just said I didn't go to a ton of games when I was a kid. I was at the Niners game later that year. So the season had fallen apart. They'd won 54-31 the week before to go back to 6-5. So I don't know. What was that like? Do we think, okay, maybe there's still time to turn it around? And I remember being at the Niner game the next week, 10-3 in the pouring rain, and it was cold. Maybe the most miserable. That might be the opposite. My worst, we could have that game too. Your worst day at the stadium ever, that might be my answer. 10-3 in the cold rain against the Niners.
And
a bad
JP Lossman came in.
And Lossman came in. Yep, that was a bad one. Quick, Ryan in Orchard Park before we hit a timeout. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I'd have to say it'd be the Taron Johnson pick six. Even though there's only 5,000 people there, I was one of those 5,000, lucky enough. And those 5,000 fans made it sound like it was 70,000. And to see him run that back when they're in the red zone to seal the deal and win the game was by far my best moment.
And there only being 5,000, like, you still would put it right at the top, even though it didn't take away from it?
Not at all.
All right. Good to hear. Good to know. Because, again, I think I know a couple people that were there, but not many because there weren't that many people
there. I just don't remember these games.
2020?
Maybe it's just willful, and I just don't want
to
remember
them. Well, they're
weird.
They're weird to look at. I'm gonna go back and watch the highlight now. If you're on hold, stay there. We've got open phone lines too. Brian Mazurowski tweeted this out from down the hall, WBEN. What's your favorite moment at the Bills Stadium, and really, can it be topped in the next 2 years? I feel like there's still room for it to be topped at the end here, at the buzzer, at Highmark Stadium before the Bills move over next door. 803-0550 is the phone number. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary, this is WGR.
Hines takes it a yard deep in the end zone, going to bring it out. Out to the 10, to the 15, up over the 20, 25, 30, gets away from the tackler, 35, 40, 45, 50, they're not going to get him! He's going for another one! 102 yards!
Good call there. Good shout. Nyheim Hines. I mean, that was emotional. It could be someone's best moment in the stadium. A week after DeMar Hamlin, they returned the opening kickoff.
Yeah. Two kickoffs in that game, yeah. That was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. Top 10, maybe. For putting my list together.
Yeah. Again, though, my top 10, our dads and then our grandfathers, I think.
Yes.
We're all going to have very different.
We are. Let me ask it this way. Well, if you're on hold, stay there. We'll start rolling through calls again in a moment. Let me ask you, and Josh too, because we're younger guys here. Let's play the game a little bit differently. If I told you you can build a time machine, you can only use it for one purpose, though. You get to be at one moment at the stadium that you weren't alive for. Which one would you pick? Comeback game?
Yeah, probably.
I might choose 51-3 over the Raiders. Again, that's not quite a moment. It's more of a full game. Going into halftime of that football game, maybe would be the moment I'd pick, where you're up by a billion, and you know we're going to the Super Bowl. Yeah, that might be my pick. Is there something from the 80s or the 70s? I don't know. OJ didn't break the 2,000-yard mark at the stadium. He did it in New York. So you don't get that. The 80s didn't really have anything, right? Kelly's first game? No. It would be the 90s. It would be the 90s. Let's go to the phones. I'm sure we'll have some answers from back then. Let's go to Lucas in North Tonawanda next. What's up, Lucas?
Hey there. Hey, guys. So good topic. Let me just set the stage for this one. So I'm 35. I had season tickets during most of the drought, a lot of the drought anyway. And it comes down to a playoff game against our, arch nemesis, the New England Patriots. And it's looking like it's going to be a, 1-0 game out there. So, if you remember that season, we had lost to the Patriots at home in that fluky wind game. So there still seemed like there was some life in them for this first home playoff game experience for me, because as you said, the year before 2020, I was not able to get tickets. So here we are, with all the people we've had season tickets with against the Patriots. Game starts, and from that time on, the entire time was a party. We score on every offensive possession, and it was just a total group catharsis for everyone. There's people who we've had season tickets around who we don't know personally. They just sit near us. Yeah. It was a party the entire game, so that entire game is my best moment at the stadium. And to make it even sweeter, I just had a child that year, so this is my last year having my season tickets. That's the last game I've been to since then. And it worked out even better because we didn't know if that game was going to be on a Saturday or a Sunday, and I started my new job on that Monday. So it ended up being the Saturday. I was able to go really enjoy myself, and like I said, it was a party the entire time.
Awesome.
Shout out to Section 309 for those of them who are still partying up there.
All right. Thanks, Lucas. Yeah, New England, perfect game. It being Belichick, too, still doesn't make it that much sweeter. Their perfect game where they scored in every touchdown was against Belichick.
Yeah.
Like, get wrecked, Bill. Was the whole vibe that whole game. Fitz shirtless in the crowd.
Yeah.
I don't think he was in 303 or whatever he just mentioned.
No, he's 200s, but yeah.
Yeah, because the red light was under there.
Yep.
The Bills Daily account just tweeted in, I was at both the comeback game and the 51-3 game. Both are great events, but nothing beats the comeback game.
Yeah.
All right, I'll take your experience for it. If I get my time machine, I'll go to the comeback game instead of 51-3. This all sparked, by the way, Brian Mazurowski from down the hall, WBEN, asked, is it possible that, or what are the odds that your greatest moment at the stadium will come in the next 2 years? That it can be, what you already might have as number one can be topped. And a lot of these things that we're going through are going to be really, really tough to top. But again, I think if they win a playoff game at home against one of these other juggernaut quarterback teams that the Bills have been competing with for the last couple of years, I think that might do it for some people. Let's go next to Josh in East Aurora. What's up, Josh?
Hey, good morning, guys. So there's only really one right answer to this question. So back in the early 90s when we had a juggernaut team and we were fighting and scrapping just to get to a Super Bowl, we had the loss against the Bengals in the playoffs up and coming. We had a loss with against Ronnie Harmon drop against the Browns.
Yep.
And then we finally got our stuff together, and we were called the Bickering Bills. That first Super Bowl, 51-3, and I've been going to a lot of games. I'm 45 now. Nothing compares to that 51-3 game. The perfect game was probably a close second, but 51-3, we, like you said, we were up going into halftime by a score. It was like 35-0, and then we just poured it on in the second half. That whole second half, everyone was partying, screaming, hugging. It was super cold.
Mm-hmm.
Desert Storm was just going on, too, so there was a lot going on in the world. And it was our first Super Bowl. And you guys remember going into that Super Bowl, Whitney Houston, the Giants. That was the best year of Buffalo Bills football I've ever seen in my life. So
yeah,
the answer is 51-3. The comeback game, I was at that too, but it doesn't hold a candle to that because half the people left the stadium and couldn't get back in. So lots of people gave up. We were getting smoked, and it was like, nope, we're all leaving, and they couldn't get back in the stadium, so it was like half empty. So 51-3 is the answer, and that's my final answer. And
right.
I've been to a lot of games, so thanks, guys.
Thanks, Josh. Yeah, it was, that game was 41-3 at the half. 41-3 at the half of an AFC championship game.
Just
home.
The party in the second half is really what I
might end up going back and forth here. I might want to go back to that one. Especially in the second quarter.
I just can't even imagine what that was like.
Man. The second quarter, I guess before, there's a pick six and then two Kenny Davis touchdowns and a James Lofton touchdown. Just, the home, that's part of the thing about the last 4 years with Allen that makes it a little tougher if you're a fan of my age is their home playoff games, other than the perfect game. The perfect game is absolutely number one because there really isn't a close second. The Raven game, there aren't many people there. The Colt game, nobody's there, right, against Phillip Rivers. And then the other two are against backup quarterbacks, Skylar Thompson and Mason Rudolph. It's not the same. It's you don't have a lot of great home playoff moments in the last 5 years with Josh Allen that everyone got to be there and experience. You have New England. That's it. You really only have New England.
13 seconds not being here, low-key blessing in disguise?
Yeah.
Maybe it doesn't happen though. I mean, maybe it doesn't. Maybe it doesn't happen that way.
I don't even know if I want to play the hypothetical game.
Let me quickly throw a game into the shaker here before we take a timeout.
Go ahead.
2011, Christmas Eve.
Look at this guy. Another drought game. Here we go.
2011 Christmas Eve. Chan Gailey, John Fox, Broncos, Bills. This is right as Tim Tebow is going to the moon, and then he ends up, they win that wild card game against Pittsburgh that year.
Yeah, after the Bills game.
After the Bills game. They stomped Denver here. Stomped them. And Tebow goes 13-29, 185, one touchdown, three interceptions in that game. Fitzy, this would have been a C.J. Spiller game, 16 for 111 and a touchdown. The Bills backup running back in the game, Tishard Choice. What a name.
Are you really right now bringing up a week 16 game?
Yes, Christmas Eve.
That they were 5-9.
I was there
going into,
and it was all about, it was Tebow time, and the Bills just,
they lost seven in a row before that game.
And they stopped it, and then they also put an end to Tebow time.
Get out. Do we need a penalty box? We need a penalty box.
We're in here talking about great
playoff games and Belichick in the playoffs and 51-3 in the comeback game. And you're bringing up a game they were 5-9 going into.
My favorite part about this game
that nobody remembers.
I think it was blacked out. The attendance,
of course,
45,000 for this game, half full.
Yeah, get lost with. We're having a conversation about the greatest moments in stadium history, and you brought up a game that there were only 45,000 people to that nobody saw on TV.
Yeah, man,
the worst.
These are the vibes.
803-0550. If you're on hold, stay there. I like this. We're going to keep rolling through them. We'll get to some phone calls. Kevin Payne, some fantasy talk in the 9 o'clock hour as well. It's a Friday. Weather's great. Sun's out. And today's a vibe. We got the preseason finale tomorrow against Carolina at 1 o'clock. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary here on WGR. Some good answers on Twitter to greatest memory at the stadium and whether it could be topped. Dan in Florida, you got about a minute. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, guys.
Go ahead, Dan. You there?
Yep, I'm here. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, sir.
Good deal. Hey, guys, great topic. Happy Friday, by the way. 16 days till kickoff. I think you guys are hitting the nail on the head as far as depending on, you know, how old you are, if you have, you know, season tickets versus non-season tickets, if you live in the area or not live in the area, your experiences are going to be different.
Yeah.
But I think the best moment has already happened, and the day is January 1st, 2008.
Uh-huh.
First Winter Classic.
Okay. This is good. I should have got back to you at the 9 o'clock hour and you had more time, Dan. Actually, if you stay on hold, you can expand on that if you want. The hockey games, Winter Classic, and also I have a World Junior memory to get to. Dan, if you stay on hold, I'll let you keep going in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll get to Kevin Payne as well. Your greatest stadium moment, and also whether it could be topped. I really like this one. Real quick on that when we come back. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary, this is WGR.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone! Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one!
For Trent, pick number one!
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.